This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today. Let's talk about Instacart. Instacart provides fast and contactless grocery delivery. Download the app or visit instacart.com and find your favorite retailers. Search and add items to your cart, and when you're ready to check out, select a delivery time that works for you. Then a personal shopper will gather your items in store with care, just as you would. You can even message your shopper along the way. And with Instacart's contactless delivery, your order will be safely left on your doorstep. Help support us and get $10 off your first 3 orders of $35 or more when you use the link in this episode's description to sign up and enter promo code 30OFF3NEW at checkout. That's 30OFF3NEW. Offer ends April 11th, 2021, while supplies last. Minimum order of $35 required per order. Terms apply. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. Definitely not punchy.
Good. We're not in a weird mood. Nope, everything's good.
Everything's fine.
Yep. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better than your phone was earlier this week.
That's true. I shattered my phone while rage texting my sister about a TV show, but I got it repaired today, so that's fine.
It's all good,
you know?
Yeah, and what else? We have been trying to find a name for our fans.
That's true. Actually, someone DM'd me on Instagram, on our, like, Not Today Instagram, and she was like, oh, I want a name. Like, I want to know what we are. And I was like, oh, that's so fun. Yeah, no, for sure. And then we were trying to think of stuff, and we came up with some very, really, really shitty ones.
Yes, yeah, very cringy ones. Today-bies.
That's so funny for me.
Because we're baby.
No. Oh, God. That's so cringy. Well, clearly you can see that we have not the best ideas.
Trouble.
We're having some trouble. So if you have any ideas, shoot me a DM. You know, let me know. We'd love to hear.
Or email us.
Or email us.
I don't know.
You know.
You guys like email better? We're having creative differences.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, oh man, this week's story is a doozy? Is that the right word?
I don't know what, there's no right word for the story.
It's crazy. Talk about inspiring, talk about overcoming, it's an insane story. So let's just jump in. So today we are going to be talking about Mary Vincent. And in 1978, Mary Vincent was a 15-year-old girl living in Las Vegas. Mary was one of 7 children, and she lived with her parents at the time. Her father, Herb, was a slot machine repairman, and her mother, Lucy, was a casino card dealer. And she wasn't very close with her parents. But in 1978, in Nevada, 15-year-old Mary
loved to dance. Her dance instructors told her that she was born to dance and that she was going to make it big someday. She was also really good with her hands, and she like kind of liked to tinker is the word she used. I mean, that's not a weird word, but anyway, tinkering.
She's a tinkerer.
She's a tinker. But her ultimate dream in life was to become a mother. Her parents, Herb and Lucy, were having a hard time around, you know, her the age of 15, or not her parents being 15, but when she was 15, that was when her parents were like kind of having a hard time, and they were deciding to divorce, which was really hard for Mary at the time, as it is for most teens. But Mary didn't really know how to handle the changes going on in her home life, so she began to skip school. But one day, while Mary was at home, her sister came home and told her that her dad was on his way home and was mad at her. And this basically was a warning from her sister for some reason. I'm not sure exactly what the situation was. Apparently her father had a migraine and was angry and was coming home. So she was like, you need to get out of the house. So Mary basically took this opportunity to leave her home and run away. And she said that she left home to save her life. It wasn't to seek wild times. And she said that at that time, she didn't know anything about the world. She just knew that she wanted to, you know, be out of her home. So she lived, okay. What?
Sorry, but so it doesn't seem like he had a migraine. It seemed like he, I don't know, was showing signs of being abusive.
Potentially.
Like, if she's leaving because she's in fear of her life,
yeah,
that's not a migraine.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't really know the whole situation of her home life. There wasn't too much detail on it, but it does kind of seem that way, if that's, you know, what she said about it, but I don't know. Anyway, she ended up on the streets, and she spent nights behind garbage cans and inside locked cars because, quote, it was safe to do that back then, which I don't agree with, I guess, you know?
Yeah, maybe they thought it was safe.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, that like, would the it best ever way be to safe? Say it. Yeah, I don't
so
know.
She's spending the night in other people's cars?
Yeah.
And locking the door?
Well, yeah,
I mean, like I guess inside, that's better than just sleeping outside.
That's true. That is true. It right? is better than sleeping, you know, out in the yeah, world.
Just hope the owner doesn't come back.
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess it, I don't know. She said it was safe to do back then. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some validity to that statement. I didn't live back then, so I don't know. But Mary ended up making her way to Berkeley, California. And I don't know if that's actually considered the Bay Area, but it's near San Francisco. And with nothing promising happening there for her, she decided that she would hitchhike to her grandfather's house and then possibly back home to Vegas. And her plan was to take I-80 up to Sacramento, down the 5 toward LA, and then take the 15 to Nevada toward Vegas. I don't fully know what that means, but if someone else out there does, great. Now you know her route. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, her plan was to hitchhike down there. Hitchhiking was much more common at that time, and many people wouldn't think twice about getting a ride from a stranger. Because it was, what, the 70s, I said? Yeah, 1978. So on September 29th, she stood on the side of the highway along with two other young hitchhikers with a sign that said, headed south. And it turned out that they were all headed in the same direction, so they thought that they'd be able to hitch a ride together, which is kind of the, you know, perfect situation, you know?
Right, yeah. Strength in numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
Make some new friends.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's the 70s. Yeah. Groovy, man, you know? So after waiting a few minutes, Lawrence Singleton pulled up in a blue van, and he was the age of her grandfather and had a kind smile. And even though the other two were going the same way as Mary and Lawrence Singleton was driving a literal van, and could fit them all, he told them that he could only take Mary, which is definitely a red flag. The two other hitchhikers said that they were getting bad vibes from the man and asked her to stay and wait with them because something very obviously didn't feel right with this whole situation. But Mary was pretty desperate and tired and wanted to get her to her destination, so she just hopped in the van because apparently he seemed pretty unthreatening at that point, you know?
Right.
I mean, at least to her. I don't know if she was just blinded by her, you know, tiredness and just, you know, wanting to be where she was going. Because clearly the other two of them were like, maybe not. But, you know, to her, she was like, it'll be fine. He looks like my grandfather.
Right.
Let's
probably,
get it. You know,
looked like just like a sweet old man to her.
Yeah. I mean, she described him as a kind smile, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so Lawrence told Mary that he could take her all the way down to Los Angeles, but he needed to stop at his home first in San Pablo. And she agreed to, you know, go back to his house, because, I mean, at this point, she kind of didn't really have a choice. And after the quick errand, they hopped on the highway toward Interstate 5. And I think that this kind of gave her a false sense of security, almost, the fact that they did stop at his house, because, you know, he could have, something bad could have happened at that point, but it didn't. So,
right. Yeah. And then he also said, I'm going to go here. And then he went there.
Yeah. And then he's so, like, okay, now we'll get on the road and we'll go to Los Angeles. So at this point, she has no reason to not believe him, but, you know, it just kind of gave her a little false sense of security, I'm assuming. So everything in the beginning seemed normal. And Lawrence told Mary that he had a daughter about her age, which also calmed her nerves a little bit. But very soon after that, shit got weird. You know, it didn't take too long for things to go south. So Mary pulled out a cigarette and sneezed after taking a puff. And as she was opening her eyes, Lawrence had reached over and put his hand on the back of her neck to pull her closer to him and said, let's see if you're sick.
What the fuck?
Which is very, very invasive. Like, don't touch me. I don't know you. But Mary obviously didn't like the physical contact and pulled away from his reach.
Dude, people sneeze.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a very weird reaction to have. And Mary sensed that. And at that point, she was like, oh, this is not normal. This is definitely weird. So he waited until this point to be like, oh, yeah, I'm actually not driving south. I'm driving north, but I can drop you off at Interstate 5 Junction. And Mary said that was fine, but...
it's like, thanks, fucker. You've just taken me farther away from my destination.
Right, yeah. I mean, at this point, she's kind of gotten the sense that things are a little weird, but she's just trying to keep her cool. And she's like, okay, that's fine. Just please drop me off wherever you can.
Right.
But Mary knew that it was going to be a little while. And I guess she was pretty tired and she did drift off to sleep. And when she woke up, it was dark outside, but she could still read the signs on the side of the road and realized that they were far past the point where he said that he would drop her off. So now she's super freaked out and angry. I mean, rightfully so. And she found a sharp stick that was behind the passenger seat and pointed it at Singleton and demanded he turn the van around and take her where she was headed. And Singleton calmly apologized and claimed that it was just an honest mistake and he wasn't going to hurt her. And he turned the car around on the highway, which also kind of was like, okay, great. Now I have the situation back again. You know, like, it's not so bad.
Right.
But after a while, Singleton claimed that he had to use the bathroom and he couldn't make it until the next rest station. So he pulled the car over on a secluded road. And Mary now at this point knows that something really doesn't feel right. And as they're coming to a stop, she decides that she's going to make a run for it. As soon as the car stops, she's like, I'm going to book it, which is perfect.
Get gone.
Yeah, perfect. But right as she hopped out, she noticed that her shoe was untied and she bent down to quickly tie it up first. And right as she bent down, everything went black. Singleton had struck her in the back of the head with a small sledgehammer and she was knocked unconscious. So I just want to take a quick second to say that this story does, include sexual assault. So if you don't feel comfortable listening to that today, that's totally fine. But so at this point, she is unconscious and he dragged her to the back of the van and he sexually assaulted her. And he told her that if she didn't do exactly as he said, he would kill her. He then left her in the back of the van and drove a short ways down the road to an even more secluded area, which is an absolute nightmare. It's so scary.
Just chills, like, ugh.
Yeah. And after coming to a stop, he cut her hands free and ordered her to drink an unknown liquid from a plastic jug, making her very woozy and confused. Singleton then proceeded to rape her until she passed out. When she regained consciousness, he ordered her to lie on the edge of the road, and she began pleading with him to set her free and that she wouldn't tell anyone. She's just saying anything she can to try and, you know, get him to stop. But as all this was happening, he went back to the van and pulled out a hatchet from the toolbox. And Mary grabbed onto his arm to try to stop him from what he was about to do, but then she began falling backwards. And at this point, she realized that he had cut her arm off.
What?
Yes. So he then grabbed her other arm, but she began kicking and screaming and putting up a fight, which really just prolonged what was going on. So both of Mary's arms were severed right below the elbow, which...
With a hatchet.
With a hatchet, yes. It's...
And the way she realizes is that she was falling backwards.
Yeah, because she was holding on to him, and then she lost her arm, which was what was holding on to him, and she began to fall backwards. Which is, like, I don't even know how to begin to wrap my head around that. I don't, really. No. But it's just, I mean, this woman is the strongest person I've ever heard of, and, like, her story is just, it's horrible and insane and just so many things. It's so many things. But yeah, so this is what's going on right now. Both of Mary's arms were severed right below the elbow. And after both of her arms were removed, she laid on the ground, bleeding out and looking at him. And she said that he began flicking his arms around, and she couldn't figure out why until she looked at the end of his arm and saw that her hand was still tightly clutched onto him, and he was trying to shake it off. So the nerves in her hand were still tense, which is just so scary. It's just so much. So Mary decided her best bet at this point was to play dead. And I agree, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's nothing else you can do at that point, and that's the best call for sure. Singleton then began dragging her seemingly lifeless, naked body and threw Mary off of a 30-foot cliff into Del Puerto Canyon, because I guess this road was kind of like on the edge of a cliff, I guess.
Pretty much.
And
30 feet,
and he threw her off of it. And the fall broke 4 of Mary's ribs. And that wasn't even it, unfortunately.
We're not done.
No, we're not. So he then climbed down to where she was and stuffed her body into a cement pipe and drove off. I guess he was, like, just trying to conceal her body. I guess he assumed that if she wasn't already dead, she was going to die soon. So he just tried to get her out of sight. Because he's a monster. He is a...
Yeah,
I mean, that's not even the right word. Like, yeah, it's so much more than that.
That can describe the evil within him.
Right. So he put her body in a cement pipe and then drove off. So now Mary is lying in the dark at the bottom of this ravine, feeling every single thing that just happened to her. And she was losing a lot of blood and was really fighting to stay conscious.
Yeah, both her arms are cut off.
Yes. And she broke 4 ribs, and, you know, it's a lot of stuff. So she said, "I should have bled to death. I didn't, and I never passed out. I remember everything. I wanted to give up and go to sleep, but I felt someone there with me, a presence who wanted me to survive. A voice told me to get up and get help, or someone else would die." So,
oh my God.
So her whole, you know, will to live at this point is not... I mean, it's obviously to save herself because that's important, but also it's to save someone else. She's like, if I don't live through this, he's going to do this again, and I can't let that happen, which is so selfless and just incredible, I think.
And, like, definitely not something you would think of.
No.
As the reason you would want to survive.
Yeah, I mean, it just says so much about who she is as a person. And so she decided that in order to curb the bleeding, she could stick her arms in the mud to, like, pack her wounds, and then she would hold her arms over her head to try to slow the bleeding down so it wasn't just pouring out of her. It was, you know, kind of had to go up and out.
That's genius.
It is. It's genius. And she did a good enough job to where she was able to begin climbing out of this ravine. And she began hearing the sounds of cars driving by, which actually motivated her to keep climbing. But it took her hours to finally get herself back up to where the road was because, you know, it's steep and she had no arms and she's bleeding and, you know, just all of the things. Like, you can just, I don't even know how to explain it better. But so once she got up to the road, she had to walk another 3 miles to get to the nearby highway because, like I said, you know, earlier, this was a very secluded road and it was dark and there was nothing going on. So she needed to get where cars would be passing her, you know?
3 miles.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the dark, too.
Yeah, after like severe blood loss.
Yes. So she made it to the highway. And the first people who spotted her did not stop and immediately sped away in fear. I mean, if you think about the way she looks, that is definitely terrifying. But at the same time, like, help.
She needs help.
She needs help.
Right. She's still naked at this point, right?
She is, yeah.
She's naked.
She's naked, covered in blood and mud, and has no arms and is holding her arms above her head.
Yeah, like, this is... I don't know. It's kind of like out of the script of a horror movie.
It is.
Like, I'm sure these people were just scared shitless.
I feel like there are some stories out there where like you hear it and it sounds so insane. And you think about, oh, this sounds like a horror movie. But if you think about that actually happening in a horror movie, I feel like I'd be like, oh, this is so unrealistic. You know, like that would never happen.
Yeah.
Because it's just so unbelievable.
Yeah, this is reality.
I mean, this is real. This is a real story that actually happened to someone. And if I saw it in a movie, I'd be like, nah, that's not real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but...
But it did.
Tell me another car came by.
Oh, absolutely. So thankfully, a couple on their honeymoon who had missed their exit came across Mary and stopped to help her. They wrapped her in linens from their car and drove to a nearby airport where she was taken by helicopter to a nearby hospital. Because if you remember, we're in the 70s and there's no cell phones. There's nothing. So they just had to race her to the nearest anything, which happened to be an airport. So,
right. Oh my God. Because they missed their exit. Shit happens for a reason.
Yeah. That is some fate right there. That is crazy. But so... She is at the hospital at this point, and doctors said that she had lost half of the blood in her body, and she was in shock and had broken 4 ribs. And after 10 days of fighting for her life a second time, Mary was stable again and was fitted for prosthetic arms. And in the hospital, Mary immediately worked with police to help identify and find her attacker. She was able to provide law enforcement with such a detailed description of her attacker that people immediately recognized Singleton from the police sketch and was identified by a neighbor of his.
Wow. He's going down.
Oh, he's going down. So police go to Larry's house and they were able to quickly connect him to the crime because Mary's cigarette butts and bits of her clothing were found on his property. He had tried to destroy the evidence, I think, by burning them, but he clearly didn't do a very good job, which I think it's just a little funny that he tried to burn cigarette butts and couldn't even do that.
You dumb shit.
So that evidence was found in his home in California, but he also had a home in Nevada. And when that was searched, they found the blue van that Mary had described, but the van was gutted at this point. The interior wasn't completely taken out, and it had actually been done with the help of one of his neighbors. So the police went to the neighbor, and the neighbor said that he had no idea why he wanted to take apart his entire van, but Larry asked him to, and he was an old man, so he's like, I just helped him out, not thinking anything of it, which, I mean, I understand, you know? It's just some neighbor. And he's like, hey, can you help me out? He's like, yeah, sure.
Don't expect your neighbor to be capable of committing murder.
No. No, definitely not. More than murder.
Trying to.
More than murder.
Yes.
You know? So Lawrence insisted that he hadn't committed the crime and claimed that Mary was a, quote, $10 a night whore. Which is just like, come on, dude. I mean, that's your best bet.
We're not surprised, but just stooping ever lower, Larry.
Of course. Truly. So he also said that he had picked up 2 other men that day, and it was one man named Pedro and the other was named Larry, which
is weird.
Is weird because you couldn't even come up with a name that wasn't your own. Interesting.
Was it you, Larry?
So he said that the 4 of them, meaning Larry, Larry, Pedro, and Mary, had all smoked together and drank, and then they all paid Mary for sex. And he claimed that he fell asleep, and when he woke up, the other Larry was driving, And he said that Mary's clothes were still in the car, but Mary wasn't. Quote, the other Larry had claimed that they had dropped her off. But that story didn't last long. He couldn't even keep one story straight. And he later claimed that Mary had tried to kidnap him and said that she would accuse him of rape if he didn't drive her to L.A.
Right.
Right. Because that makes complete sense.
Yeah, because she still has both of her arms.
Right.
Right.
He also said that he had no memory of the attack because he was blackout drunk, which doesn't make a difference in my mind.
And you were driving.
Yes. Well, he said he wasn't driving. He said the other Larry was driving. But, I mean, even if you were blackout drunk and there was an attack, you still did the attack. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take it away. It doesn't negate it. Yeah, so it's okay, Larry.
Some lawyer is going to rip him apart.
Yeah.
Very shortly.
Anyway, 6 months later, Larry was put on trial, and Mary stood up in front of the court and testified against him. She only referred to Singleton as my attacker, and she made it very clear that he was the person that did this to her. Larry was convicted of kidnapping, first-degree rape, and the attempted murder, and was given the maximum sentence at the time of 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah. The judge presiding over the court even said, if I had the power, I would send him to prison for the rest of his natural life. But that was the sentence. That was the maximum sentence at the time. So he couldn't do more, which is just crazy.
Insane.
Yeah. But apparently after everything was said and done, Larry made a quiet comment to Mary as she was leaving. He later admitted that he told her, I'll finish this job if it takes the rest of my life. Which,
oh my God,
left Mary, unsurprisingly, absolutely traumatized. I mean, who, like...
Right.
How is it that she was able to be close enough to him that he could say something quietly to her? You know? Who let that happen?
Right.
That is so fucked. And after noticing that he said something to her, because someone must have seen this interaction, how did they not shank him? You know? Or just punch him square in his stupid face. Like, that should not have happened. But regardless, Mary won $2.5 million in a civil case against him. When Mary's attorney requested Singleton appear in court so they could examine his ability to pay the $2.5 million for what he did to her, Lawrence voiced that he was afraid he would be shot if he appeared, so he had never appeared in court. Which is like...
You appeared in court the first time.
Okay, you coward. Like, what the... What? Like, you're...
You can't just skip court.
No, yeah, of course not. But he was like, oh, it's dangerous for me.
God, no one cares, yeah. Dude.
Well, everyone cares. And I hope he would...
No one cares about your concern.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's what I mean.
That's exactly right. So Mary was only awarded $13,000 by the state's Victims of Crimes Act and $6,000 from a small donation made in her name to help her back on her feet.
Wait, so what happened with the 2.5 mil?
So he was broke, essentially, and he couldn't pay. And it's more of a formality, you know, to win that money, to be like, oh, I won that much money. But if he can't pay it, she doesn't get it. Like, it doesn't just materialize. You know, he has to have money to get it. So she was only awarded $13,000 because of that. What?
Here's what I'm confused about. So he's broke, mm-hmm. Yes, but he has two houses.
Yeah.
Can he be forced to, like, liquidate those? I don't know. I'm probably getting too technical, but...
No, I mean, I don't...
I think they should do it, and then any money he ever makes for the rest of his life should go to her. He's gonna get out in 14 years.
That's true.
Apparently.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And probably earlier because they're gonna fucking let him out on good behavior.
Well, spoiler alert. But
every fucking time.
I know. It's so frustrating every single time. It's so frustrating. But yeah, I mean, he should have to pay. He should have to, you know, get rid of his houses and pay her whatever money he has left. And maybe he did. I don't. Or maybe they forced him to. I really don't know. But anyway, she only got the $13,000 and then an additional $6,000 from donations made for her, you know, to help her. And Mary said that after the attack, her parents came to get her, but were, in her opinion, never much help. Because if you recall, all of this happened to a 15-year-old who is still 15 at the time. Like, you just, it's hard to remember that fact because you couldn't even imagine that happening to anyone, let alone a 15-year-old.
Yeah, a child.
Yeah. So her parents had to come pick her up because she's a child. So she said they couldn't handle it, and they took it harder than me. She said, I'm telling them I need you, but they couldn't do it. They were more interested in what they felt about what happened to me than what I felt. So wow. Still, their relationship is strained. It's not very good. And it's also just not much help to Mary, which is tragic because that's what she needs right now is some support.
Yeah, I know. It's like she fell into an abyss and they're supposed to be like the handhold she can grab onto to get back out. And it's just not there.
Yeah. That's exactly right, yeah. Because she's still 15 years old, she had to go back to school. And she started attending a school for the disabled, which she hated. And at home, she had trouble with her family, and many of her close relationships began to fall apart. She became depressed and anorexic and had trouble even leaving her house, which, I mean, at that point, with no support and with what happened, it's just... I don't want to say understandable, but like it is understandable. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's how crazy. Lonely.
Yeah, insanely and, lonely.
Has to deal with this enormous trauma on her own.
Yeah, absolutely. She felt really isolated and thought of herself as a freak, which is her words. I would never say that.
Right.
but she couldn't dance anymore, which was super upsetting to her because the muscles from her legs had been taken to save her arms.
Oh my God.
So even that was like taken away, which is just so, so sad. And the rest of her teenage years were filled with anger and pain, and everyone knew who she was because she had been through a really difficult, like very specific thing, and her wounds weren't on the inside. It was very, I mean, they were on the inside, but she had both of her arms amputated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she still had from the elbow up, but still it's a very visible thing. So everyone knew who she was because this was such a big story. And I don't know if she, you know, was in a smaller town, but everyone knew who she was, which was very difficult.
Yeah, with the case that public, everyone knows.
Absolutely. And she just couldn't escape from the nightmare that she had survived, which sucks. It just sucks. And Mary used this opportunity to talk to teenagers about the dangers of hitchhiking and what can happen to you, which is so strong and brave for her to do that. That's amazing. And as soon as she graduated, she traveled around looking for a place to create her own life. And eventually she landed in Gig Harbor, Washington. And her plan was to start a family of her own, but she didn't get to enjoy her new life for very long because after serving only 8 years and 4 months, San Quentin released Larry because he was a, quote, model prisoner.
I fucking called it.
Yeah, we called it. I mean, that's just what happens in every goddamn story. But this was even after a psychologist? That's what I...
Psychologist. you guys understand.
A psychologist. Love that. This was even after a psychologist who looked after Larry said, because he is so out of touch with his hostility and anger, he remains an elevated threat to other safety inside and outside of prison. Make that make sense. How was he released as a model prisoner when the person who's looking after him said that he remains a threat to people even inside prison?
Right, let alone outside.
Let alone outside.
Who greenlit that decision?
I don't know, but whoever did, I would like to send a strongly worded letter to.
Just, that's it?
Well, I'll...
You can do better.
I'll leave it there. I'd like to give him a swift kick in the nuts, too.
Yes. In summation,
yes.
We made a colossal dumbass mistake by releasing him.
Absolutely. And throughout his time in prison, Singleton maintained his story that he was innocent and he had never raped or dismembered Mary. So, obviously, the public is outraged. And protests broke out, and many towns in California refused to allow him to live there. So Larry ended up spending his parole in a trailer on San Quentin grounds under a curfew and watch of guards, which I guess is better than nothing, but also I'm still mad about it, you know?
Yeah, he should still be in prison, but it sounds like at least he's being watched and he can't leave.
Yes, but at the same time, I mean, we've already discussed that, the psychologist said that he remained a threat, which is incredibly dangerous, but he never even acknowledged what he did. He still said that he was innocent. So clearly this is not a person who's able to be out and about, you know what I mean?
And hasn't shown any remorse.
Right, no remorse, none. So he's clearly 100% still a threat to everyone, which was said, but it apparently doesn't matter. I'm angry. Anyway, this led to the passing of the No Second Chances for Murderers, Rapists, or Child Molesters Act of 1998, which is very to the point. We love that.
Self-descriptive, really.
We love that. So, which upped the maximum sentencing for one of these offenders to life in prison and ceases the early release of criminals who use torture in their crime. So, if this was around when Larry was being, you know, sentenced, he could have been there for life and, you know, not been released. But this happened because of him, which I guess is still something. The fact that something came out of this to make the sentencing a little bit better is not nothing. You know what I mean?
It's a win.
It's a win.
It is a win.
It's definitely a win.
It wouldn't have happened if she hadn't decided to fight.
That's true.
In that moment.
That's true. This is all because of Mary. It's not because of Singleton. It's because of Mary. But then Larry tried to sue Mary, because that makes complete sense.
Oh my God.
He felt that he was the victim in all of this, and he claimed that while he was in jail, he considered the alleged events, and he knew that he was not guilty. He said he remembered Mary threatening to accuse him of rape, and that she brandished a stick at him, which was this huge deal in his mind. He's like, she threatened me with this sharp stick, therefore, she's guilty. Which he then decided was the reason that he became violent. So he was like, because she brandished this stick at me, this young 15-year-old girl, and I'm this old big man, I had to become violent with her because she threatened me.
Right.
Right. So he claimed the courts mistreated him, and he filed a complaint suing Mary for, quote, forcible kidnap for the purposes of robbery.
Does she get to skip this? Like, this should be left out of the courtroom.
Should she just call in sick that day? Because that's some bullshit. He said after he filed the complaint, he, quote, almost vomited 3 times and could not sleep for several nights because he was so worked up about the whole thing. Which, I mean, this case was essentially laughed out of court, and it never gained traction, and they dismissed it. Thank God. So
good. Yeah. Go home and vomit and not sleep some more. Piece of shit.
Yeah, honestly. So Larry's early release caused Mary to go into hiding, and she struggled with nightmares. She said, I've broken bones thanks to my nightmares. I've jumped up and dislocated my shoulder just trying to get out of bed. I've cracked ribs and smashed my nose. Every day I pray to God to make a space I can breathe in, and every day God gives it to me. So she was afraid to stay in one place too long, and she went through a series of bodyguards and ended up living in a deserted gas station for a while because she was so terrified of being anywhere that was, like, traceable, you know?
Right. She's so terrified that she's having nightmares that are physically harming her.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
It's terrible. But Mary wasn't the only one living in constant fear. Larry's daughter, Deborah, also fled and hid. She asked law enforcement if there was any way that they could keep him behind bars, but the police just suggested she get a restraining order, which isn't a great option because that just gives him her name and where she lives, and then it just says, don't go there.
Yeah, that's some dumb shit. We're like, okay, let's think logically about this. We have a person who rapes children and then tries to murder them. And tortures them.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think he's going to follow a restraining order?
No. Of course not. But this wasn't their problem. Sorry, he was a model prisoner. Anyway, so at this point, since California was less than welcoming to Larry, he decided to move back to his home state of Florida. And in 1990, he was convicted of theft twice, but only served a 60-day sentence. And on February 19th, 1997, he lured a young sex worker by the name of Roxanne Hayes to his home where he attacked her. A local house painter noticed the horrific scene unfolding and quickly called the police. And in his 911 call, he described that a nude man covered in blood was repeatedly stabbing a nude woman who lay motionless on the sofa. He also claimed that he could hear the sound of bones being crunched.
Oh my God.
Which is horrifying. But when police arrived, Larry answered the door completely naked and covered in blood. He wasn't even trying to hide the fact that this was happening. He claimed that he was trying to get a knife from Roxanne and said that he wound up stabbing her multiple times because it was self-defense. This was just another one of these crazy things where he couldn't handle a woman just being around. He was threatened, so he had to stab her multiple times, which is...
Yeah, like how many times?
Complete and utter bullshit. Multiple. Yeah,
self-defense is not bone cracking.
Even if... I mean, like, I don't know. It's just disgusting that he thinks he can literally get away with this. And he did the first time. I mean, he did.
Yeah, he's delusional.
Anyway, complete bullshit. But Roxanne was a 31-year-old mother who was just doing what she had to do to get by. And the news of this incident sent Mary into panic. She began having nightmares again and had constant panic attacks and even hired bodyguards again and was constantly moving. So Mary flew from California to Florida to testify on behalf of Roxanne, which I just think is the strongest thing, you know? Like, you facing the man that absolutely tortured you and attempted to murder you on behalf of this woman just to make sure that he is never able to do this again, you know? He, like...
Yeah.
It's just so much. It's so brave. But yeah, so she went to Florida and she testified against Larry and went into great detail about what happened to her and painted a very clear picture about why the ultimate punishment should be handed down to Larry. So on April 14th, 1988, after only 4 hours of deliberation, Lawrence Singleton was convicted of murder and sentenced to death. And he did end up dying on death row in 2001 of cancer. So at least he's dead, you know?
Yeah, and then she had closure that he wasn't going to come and finish the job.
Yeah, I mean, it did give her some sense of closure, which is good.
But this was how many years after? 10 years after?
It happened in 78, and he died in 2001.
No, when did he get convicted?
Convicted in 1998. Oh,
98, so 20 years. Well, I guess
20
like
years?
From when it happened to when he was convicted, but yes. Then he was in jail for 8.
Right.
But 12 years, pretty much, where she was, like, in hiding.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if he didn't affect her enough. As if he didn't take all of her mental sanity away.
And physically took her arms.
And took her arms.
Like,
she couldn't even dance.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't even dance.
He took everything from her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, she was living in hiding, or she was living in fear for all of those years, but she did manage to move on and live her life, you know? Obviously she was terrified for that time, but she still managed to live her life. And in 2001, she finally got some sense of closure and got a family. She had a family. She married a man that she loved, and she had 2 sons with him, and she became an artist, actually. And her prosthetic arms were apparently kind of cheap, with, like, metal fingers that just moved really stiffly in one direction and not side to side. But she said, as someone who likes to tinker, she used some spare parts from a broken down refrigerators and old stereo systems and made her prosthetics into some up-to-date models that she wears today.
So she fixed her own prosthetics.
Yeah. Now her fingers are able to turn in all directions.
Wow. That is remarkable.
Yeah. She's incredible. She's incredible. And, she said, I like to tinker, and so did my grandfather. He was an artist too, so I guess I get it from him. And during this time, Mary actually discovered that she could draw, which was not a skill that she possessed before her attack, which is super interesting. She said, I couldn't draw a straight line, even with a ruler. I would mess it up. There was something that woke up after the attack, and my artwork has inspired me and given me self-esteem.
Wow. I'm so glad she found something.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
it's not like she had nothing. Like, she had the family she created. She had some people that she surrounded herself with. And, you know, she was able to move forward and do this. And now she has art, which is incredible. I am so happy that she found art after not being able to pursue dancing, which is something that she was seriously going to pursue. Because I think she went to, the Bay Area, San Francisco in the beginning to try to pursue dancing. and then she couldn't because nothing came of it, you know?
Right, okay.
But now she has art, which is amazing. And she's really good at it. She's really, really good at it. She mainly works with chalk pastels and creates powerfully upbeat women. She creates her own version of female action figures. She said they're delicately made sex symbols that know with absolute assurance how to take care of themselves, which is so cool, in my opinion. She also draws family portraits on commission, working from photographs. And in one of the articles I read about her artwork, it was like, oh, she just always makes the people, like, look their best, you know? She takes away any, like, small imperfection and just makes them their best self, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, she's amazing. And yeah, she was able to put her past behind her, and she married a man and had two sons, like I said, and had a bunch of pets. I think she even had like a parrot, like some hamsters, some dogs, some cats, like a whole, like,
she had a zoo.
She had a whole zoo up in there, and she's taking care of her animals. She loves her sons. And Mary also found healing in becoming a leading victim's advocate. She said, I would never have been able to turn from victim to survivor without advocates and attorneys. I will never get over being attacked. I wake up every morning with a constant reminder, she said as she shrugged her shoulders and held her prosthetic arms up. But I can move past it, is what she said. So that's, you know, amazing. And she still tells her stories to spread awareness. And she said, it doesn't matter what you think. You're not 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I used to think that. But look what happened to me, because there's always somebody who can take you down if you don't stay aware. Which is very true, especially as a woman, you know?
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, as a 15-year-old, you're like, I can't die.
I'm like, well?
Yeah, but you know, you gotta be careful. But I just thought that was a powerful message, you know?
Yeah, it's very succinct and, yeah.
But that is the story of Mary Vincent. It is, wow, you know?
Yeah, wow. Wow's a word.
I don't know. A lot of times I just don't know the right words to say.
We've said this a number of times this podcast, but yeah, it's just no words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can describe how terrible this was, but. You know, the other side of it is how amazing she is and
inspiring and brave and just amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Like the fact that she went and, I mean, it's just the fact that she made it out of the ravine to be like, I don't want this to happen to someone else. And then, you know, lived through that trauma, overcame her struggles, moved away, like built her life from the ground up, like surviving through not only this crazy attack, but also through all of her, you know, mental struggles, like depression and all these things that she had to overcome in her normal life, just as a teenager. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to be a person, period. And she made it through so much and really built her life up. And then when Lauren Singleton murdered Roxanne Hayes, she went to Florida and faced him. She sat in a room again with him, in front of him, and faced her nightmare again, which is just incredible. So, whew, you know, talk about inspiring.
Yeah, and that moment when she was like, he's going to do this to somebody else.
Yeah.
Made a difference, because that law ended up getting passed, and then she went to
pretty much put
him on death row.
Yeah, I didn't even, that last little bit I didn't even think about, but yeah, that whole law was passed because of her, which is incredible. Damn. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Let's leave it there.
Let's leave it there. Let's everyone take a breath. Yeah. You know? But what is your good thing this week? Let's end on a light note, shall we? Yes.
Why don't you go?
Why don't I go? Okay. I am getting my second vaccine tomorrow, which is super exciting. Although I have to wake up super early and drive super far away to get it, but that's all right. I am excited.
Yeah, at least you can get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to be able to be in the position to get my second vaccine right now, so I am not complaining. You know, it's just it's gonna be early, and I'm not an early bird. You know,
neither of us are.
No.
Yeah, my so while you were in the middle of saying that, I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to sign up for the vaccine in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's exciting.
But I feel like I can't.
You can.
I can't steal your style like that.
I mean, you know, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
It's good. That's a good thing. I mean, we had a good week with our friend who came for your birthday.
Right.
That was amazing. It was so nice to see her.
Yeah. We like went out to an actual restaurant for like the first time in like a long time.
Yeah.
And like sat at the bar, and I was like, what is this?
Yep. Yep.
That's my good thing.
Good.
I finally got out.
Amazing.
It felt like some semblance of normal.
For sure. So, we're on our way, folks. We are on our way. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. If you have a name you think we should refer to,
if you would like to name yourselves,
let us know. Let us know. Follow us on Instagram to send me a DM about that at nottoday_podcast. If you have a story, please send it to me at notodaypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on TikTok at nottodaypodcast. We have a Twitter, Not Today Podcast, with a T on the end of podcast is a 3, because that makes sense. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.